sleep with me again, I'll tell you that right now. Oh, Animal Radio Network.
Boog is running around the studio eating dead
flies. Dead
flies.
Well, it's the only thing he can catch.
Yeah, you're not a very good hunter. So.
No, sometimes he catches leaves.
Yeah.
Which is cool, too. But he's not sleeping with me tonight.
All right.
Do any of your animals sleep with you?
Any? All. All of my animals, I'm allowed to sleep with them.
They allow you to sleep.
Yes, they do.
I think we're just one in a few. I don't think anyone else really sleeps with their animals.
You don't think anyone else out there does, huh?
Perhaps. 1-866-405-8405. Let us know if your animal sleeps with you. Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name's Janet.
Hey, Janet. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Where are you calling from?
Denver, Colorado.
Denver, Colorado. And we were just there for the big pet-friendly tour, Canine Rehabilitation Center. Were you there?
I was not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know if they could fix my dog.
Oh, really?
What needs to be rehabilitated in your dog?
My dog has gas.
Oh, yeah. Oh. You know, we do hear about that a lot.
I'm not kidding. I mean, this will make your retinas bleed.
And you're blaming it on the dog, and it really is the dog this time.
It is the dog. It's me and the dog in the house. I know when I fart.
What kind of diet is your dog on?
He's on the raw diet.
The raw diet. Okay, Judy, that's
good because that's mostly protein. When you buy the pet foods at the store, it's mostly grain and corn products that they use for fillers, and they don't digest really well in their system, and that can cause a little flatulence.
But that's for the store-bought stuff,
right?
The store-bought stuff, yes.
So if you're feeding him a high-quality food, you know he's getting a lot of protein, and he still has gas, then we need to work on another solution.
May I ask?
And actually, there is something you can do. If upgrading your dog's diet to a better food doesn't help, you can add a teaspoon, only a teaspoon, at every meal of low-fat yogurt.
Of yogurt?
Yes. There's bacteria cultures in yogurt reduce the internal gas. So if you add just a little bit at every meal.
Does that work for humans?
I'm just wondering.
What about Beano? Can you use Beano? I've heard people say
You can. You can use some of the products, but be very careful on the dosage and stuff that you give your pet.
Well, I love the yogurt idea.
Yeah.
I eat a lot of yogurt, and I make yogurt once a week.
You really? So you make your own yogurt?
Yeah, homegrown yogurt.
How do you make yogurt?
Oh, you know, I'll send you a postcard.
So you can share your yogurt with your dog and see if that takes care of the problem.
And so will you think he'll eat it?
Oh, they love it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and another thing, I don't know if you give your dog any table scraps. Table scraps are not good. Some human foods, dogs don't digest very well.
I know that, and I would like to be able to say that I don't give my dog table scraps.
Oh, everybody does.
Everybody
does.
You
should see him when he looks at me eating a big, fat, juicy hamburger, and he gives me that look like, oh, no one loves me, please. And who am I to resist?
And also be very careful with dairy products. If you give your dog dairy products, some dogs are actually lactose intolerant.
Well, isn't yogurt a dairy product?
Yeah.
Well, not. I guess with the cultures, it's a little different from just regular dairy products.
And tell me again how much to add?
A teaspoon at every meal.
A teaspoon is like, this is a big dog.
It's a small, that's a small amount for a big dog.
Okay, so a teaspoon and a half. Let's upgrade it a little.
Yeah, start low and work your way up.
And well, can I work my way up? I mean, if he loves it, I'm thinking it's got to be good for him.
I would think so. I don't think it'll do him any harm.
And as far as I understand, flatulence is actually a sign that things are working pretty good. Is that true?
I don't know that answer, but...
okay.
But anyways, if all else fails, if you try that and it still doesn't work, I think it's time to take him to your vet for a checkup.
Oh, God. Okay. We hate the vet. Sorry.
You know, there's always that thing with those darn anal glands.
Let's not go there.
Yeah. So that's just like a last alternative if nothing else works. And, make sure it is the dog because Hal blames the cats in the studio.
I have a cat.
Yeah. So.
I doubt it, though.
They're healthy
because,
cats.
You know, she's a delicate flower.
Must be a female.
Yes.
Janet calling from Denver, thanks so much for calling today.
My pleasure. Thank you for your help.
1-866-405-8405.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Welcome to Voice of the Animal. When you think about the dates you had to learn in history class, they mostly were records of awful events, tragedy, terror, sadness. But wouldn't it also be true that every day marks something wonderful as well? What if we kept a record of the joyful days? One of those days every year would be the day the hummingbirds return. Some of you are lucky enough to have hummingbirds all year round, but for those of us who have to watch these treasured friends depart for warmer climates every October, their return in early April is a day to celebrate and record on the calendar. The return of hummingbird is marked by the song unique to their species. We often hear them before we see them, flitting about the place the feeders occupy during the months they're here. And woe to us if we have not anticipated their return and prepared their feeders, for they will hover about, indignant at having to wait for their sugared reward after all those thousands of miles they have traveled to make it back to spend the summer with us. And who better to mark one's calendar with days of joy than hummingbird? For it is her presence that invokes joy in story and myth. It is said that hummingbird sings a vibration of pure joy. I love what Ted Andrews writes about hummingbird, that although it is good to whistle while we work, it is actually better to hum, since humming creates an internal massage, restoring health and balance, reminding us to find joy in what we do and to sing it out into the world and into ourselves as well. Since hummingbird is found only in the Western Hemisphere, she does not appear in European or African myths and fairy tales, but there are many Native American stories of hummingbird. The Hopi and the Zuni paint hummingbird on water jugs because it was hummingbird who intervened with the gods to send rain to the humans. The ghost shirt religion of the Lakota Sioux was established to bring back the animals and the old ways of the people through dance. The leader of the dance was hummingbird. The Cochiti consider hummingbird a messenger between the worlds. A secret passageway opens for her because of her faith in the Great Mother. One reason hummingbird is associated with the realm of fairy, an association her jeweled tones and gossamer wings reflect in the many types of hummingbirds, the purple-crowned fairy, wood nymph, wood star, ruby-throated, and calliope. Scientists believe that birds evolved from dinosaurs, and I recall reading somewhere that when Tyrannosaurus rex became extinct, his fundamental nature was relocated, so to speak, in the form of hummingbird. Think whatever you will about that, but indulge your imagination in that possibility when you observe the Rufus hummingbird fighting everyone for the feeder, the territorial aggression of T-Rex thriving in petite feathered form. Most scientists agree that hummingbirds do not hurt one another in these skirmishes over territory and nectar sources, even in conflicts with larger birds. Hummingbird maintains his airspace. Perhaps one reason the chief god of war in Aztec society was associated with the hummingbird, and the Aztecs believed that hummingbirds were the transformed souls of their dead warriors. Hummingbird's feathers are used to make love charms because they are believed to open the heart to love and joy, to laughter and delight in all that is beautiful. In the animal medicine cards of Jamie Sams and David Carson, they write that one must never be coarse in front of hummingbird, for hummingbird is a fragile medicine that has no understanding of worldly affairs. Beauty is the target, and hummingbird's mission is to spread joy or be destroyed. In fact, hummingbird will die if caught, caged, or imprisoned. A writer once said, "I will treasure the private record. The public one will keep track of disasters." Hummingbird is the only bird that can fly backwards. Mark your calendar when you see hummingbird this year, an occasion to fly backward in time and celebrate a day of joy. Visit us on the World Wide Web at voiceoftheanimal.org. For Voice of the Animal, this is Rayanne Cumulos.
This is Animal Radio Network.
Welcome back to Animal Radio and good stuff for great pets. And you've been following along, you know that we have the Pet Friendly Tour of America. A couple of weeks ago, we were in Denver, Colorado.
Yes, we were. We had a great time.
Picking our pet friendly spot there, which was the Canine Rehabilitation Center, one of those places that the dogs can go swimming in. Kind of a neat thing.
An underwater treadmill for them that if they're recuperating from, say, a knee surgery or something.
Or if they just want to play, they can go there too.
Yeah, great place.
We are still looking for great stuff for great pets all across America. You can check us out. In a couple of weeks, we'll be live in Oceanside, which is near San Diego, actually, talking with Arden Moore, and we'll have more great picks of pet-friendly stuff. And here's one that's near and dear to my heart right now. As you may or may not know, Screech was our studio kitty who passed away several months ago due to FIP, which is a sickness that really is, there's no cure for it. You notice it or you diagnose it last minute, and by that time it's too late. It often attacks young cats. So it was hard. I was very close to this cat, too, because it's like my family. And many of you can relate to that. When an animal passes away, it's much like family. It might even hurt more than a relative passing away.
Well, you're close. You're with them every day. They're like your children.
So we were looking for something that would commemorate this wonderful animal, something to put on her gravesite. And I guess the first thing that came to mind was a gravestone.
Uh-huh.
There weren't a lot out there, and the ones that we did see were very expensive. You know, you spend $300 to $600
exactly
on a rock. And while we appreciate her very much and would do almost anything for her, I don't have that kind of money.
Right. It's a matter of economics.
So you went searching on the net, and you found something really awesome. What did you find?
I did a lot of searching. Again, I found very few companies. I wanted a picture, first of all. I wanted something to personalize it. I found very few companies willing to do that, and if I did, they were just outrageous.
You mean put the picture on the gravestone?
Put the picture, yeah, okay. On the marker. And I came across Faithful Friends Memorials. The prices were just amazing. In fact, I kind of bookmarked it and went back a few times.
You were skeptical at first.
Very skeptical. I kept thinking, what's wrong with this picture? They are beautiful. They are affordable. And I had to contact the owner, who we have on the phone.
Jim, is it Stetzel is how you pronounce your last name?
Yes, it is, yeah.
And, Jim, we're calling you in Canada. Is that correct?
Yep.
And we found this. I guess we thought that we might as well try it and see what it's all about. You were actually very friendly to us and said, okay, we'll put together something very beautiful for you. We received it in the mail about a week ago, and it is absolutely spectacular. It's a shiny piece of marble-like. Is it marble?
It's actually granite.
No, yeah. It's granite, okay. And on it, etched on it, is Screech's name and a picture that we sent Jim.
It's such a great copy. It's such a good likeness.
How can you afford to do this?
Well, I'll tell you. Once we get into the business of doing this kind of stuff, first of all, I guess the whole reason we got into it was to specifically help out people with their pets, and we used to actually do it by another method using sandblasting, and we just got to the point where we felt we had to either increase our quality and do perfect picture quality stuff or almost consider stopping doing it, and I decided that once I sold my house that I would invest, you know, quite a bit of the money that I got from selling it and get into the laser end of it and be able to just really produce beautiful things for people. And it's based on the fact that these really aren't about the money. We have to cover our costs and make a little bit of profit, but it's definitely not in the area where a lot of the other companies are really, you know, just charging 2 to 3 times what we charge.
Oh, at least. I couldn't find anybody comparable to your prices.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, it comes at a time when a lot of these people are grieving. It's kind of tough. So to have an extra heavy-duty expense is not what you're looking for when you're looking for a stone or a marker.
Okay. Well, and unfortunately, at that time, that's usually the time that they'll hit you with your emotions, and you know, you'll spend more than you really want to or that you feel you can, or maybe delay or totally put off even doing it because it isn't affordable.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the bottom line? How much does it cost for somebody to get a stone with a picture on it?
Well, generally, right now, the way we're doing it, we do offer some different sizes. We find that the larger that you go, usually the ones we sell will be a 12-inch by 12-inch memorial stone that's approximately 3/8 to 1/2 inch thick.
And that's what we got, is that correct?
Yeah, it is actually granite, which is a very, very hard and long-lasting material. Marble is available as well, but it scratches a little bit easier, so we prefer to use the long-lasting material. It's the exact same material that would be used on regular grave site markers in the funeral industry. And basically when we laser that, it will turn a whitish color when the areas we laser to give you a really good reproduction and like a black and white photo. A 12 by 12 at this point in time is selling for $60. And then basically we just add on the actual cost of shipping and packing. So you're looking at about $16.50 for shipping and $3 for insurance against loss or breakage. So we just consider that, you know, we can do a lot more of these at a reasonable price than to charge a lot more money and do less of them and make a lot more people happy.
Well, it's definitely well worth it. And like I said, you probably could make a little more money doing this. I'm glad that you don't. I hope that you make all the money in the world. But I'm glad that you're not taking advantage of people when they're down and out. This is a beautiful stone. The picture that we sent you, very intricate. And we were a little worried that it being so intricate that it might not come out, but it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, my first thing was to just take a picture of Screech and take it out of that picture and not have all the background. But speaking with Jim, he suggested that I leave it in, and I'm glad I did. It made for a wonderful marker, a wonderful memorial.
You really work with the client, too, it seems like. It's not like you're mass-producing these. You're working and finding out what they want on the marker and how they want it to look. How much time do you spend with people, the average client, would you say?
I would say, on average, probably at least an hour. And a lot of times it's amazing how many emails we can send back and forth and send proofs. And we're more than willing to try different pictures because we want to get the best result. But the important thing is, like Judy said there with the background in that picture, we can try to paint out the background, which is time-consuming. But a lot of times to have the pet in its natural environment with things that are recognizable, just give it all that much more character, like Screech in his basket he knocked over sitting there proud as heck. And it just really gives the whole picture a lot of memory and a lot of character to it. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now how can we get in touch with you?
Well, basically, we can be found on the internet at www.faithfulfriends.ca, and all of our contact information is there. We have our email addresses and our phone numbers. We prefer email, and it keeps the cost down for us as well as the customer, and we're pretty well open to taking many forms of payments. Unfortunately, taking payments by checks, because we're in Canada, can take up to 30 days to clear, so we prefer to do Visa, MasterCard, or PayPal. And that way, if you email us proofs, your pictures that you have, we can proof it almost within 1 or 2 days and sometimes have it out within the same amount of time. And that way it just really avoids all kinds of delays and gets it in your hands as soon as possible.
Now, for those of you that are not interested in burying your animal but would actually like to cremate your animal, you actually have a brand new solid wood urn for dogs. Is that correct?
We do, yeah. And actually it can be used for dogs or cats. What we do on those is they're a beautiful solid wood urn made out of either oak, birch wood, or pine. And what we do is we inlet a very nice piece of natural slate into the side that is very dark gray, almost a black color, and we'll engrave all the wording and a beautiful picture on that as well, so it's very personalized. And those usually run around $99 for the pine and the birch wood and a little bit more for the oak just because it's a more expensive wood up here in Canada.
You do other things besides memorials, and you etch other things besides granite. You do mirrors, you do glass, you do a variety of things. Is that true?
It's actually just about open to your imagination, actually. We do some beautiful engraving on birch wood, which basically gives almost a perfect photo quality.
Ooh.
And
wow.
The mirrors are very, very incredible as well. We do a lot of picture frames that can be memorial frames. I guess probably the biggest thing that we find, like with yourself, you've ordered this stone and now you've received it and you've fallen in love with it and you almost feel guilty putting it outside.
It's hard to part with it.
Well, exactly. And mm-hmm. And what we can do at times is either we can produce a little bit of a smaller one for inside. We can add a piece of granite, a little triangular piece on the back so it can stand up on a shelf.
Oh, wow.
Or we can attach a hanger to hang it on the wall. And even the 12x12 some people will have inside.
Uh-huh.
And the picture frames also, you know, some people will get those. And I guess the benefit is if you're considering that and you ask us about it, if we send it at the same time, it's going to save you money on shipping as well.
Right.
And like I said, I've come across so many people that get them and just love it so much they don't want to leave the house, you know.
Yeah, well, and then the other thing, of course, is that now I know you do other things. I don't have to wait for an animal to die to get a spectacular piece of marble or granite or birch with a picture in it. I could get it just as a gift for a friend.
For sure. And actually, that was one thing I was going to mention, too. You can imagine the grief you have when you do lose such a special pet like you have. And myself, I've lost my favorite Sheltie here several years ago. I could despairingly say I would probably trade one or two of my family members to get her back. And, you know, what a beautiful gift for somebody to give somebody who has lost a pet. And they may not be able to find something like that on the net, but what a very personalized, special gift.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, well, it is our pet-friendly pick for this week, and it comes from Faithful Friends Memorials, the website www.faithfulfriends.ca, not .com, .ca, and of course, we will put a link from the very front page of Animal Radio. If you scroll down, you'll see a picture of some of the samples, so that if you're driving along now and you can't remember that URL, just head on over to animalradio.com, and all the information will be there. a great price, a great gift. Thank you so much. You have one more thing?
I just wanted to say one more thing. I hope nobody has to go through this process, but if you do, this is a wonderful place to go. You will not be disappointed. I am just at loss for words, which doesn't happen a lot.
No, it's a great item at a great price.
It is. I can't say enough about it. I personally endorse this.
We appreciate your time, Jim, and we appreciate everything you do for everybody, the animals, and what you've done for us.
You know,
for sure.
Someone said on your website that you provide service with a heart.
And you do, absolutely. And I love that Canadian, for sure. Eh?
Yeah. Well, I have to admit, a little part of us goes into every stone we make. And I guess, some of the other things we do, like family reunion photos, wedding pictures, everything else. But the pets really have a special place in our hearts, and we're definitely there for people when they need us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Faithful Friends Memorials, once again, www.faithfulfriends.ca. Jim, have yourself a great day. We will definitely be in touch for some more great things.
All right, take care.
Hold on one second, Jim. Just a moment.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
And just a couple of seconds from now, we're going to actually be talking to someone who's put together a book about sleeping with your pets. So I guess a lot of people do sleep with their pets.
There's proof. We've got pictures.
1-866-405-8405. If your pet sleeps with you or you sleep with your pets, we want to hear from you. It's Hal and Judy on Animal Radio Network.
Animal Radio is brought to you by Frontline Plus. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
And we do appreciate it so much, Frontline. And we also want to welcome WPIQ 99.9 FM in Manistique, Michigan, KVNS 1700 in Brownsville, Texas, KPTL 1300 in Carson City, Nevada, WRPN 1600 in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I love that name, Oshkosh. WLBK 1360 in DeKalb, and WHFB 1060 in Benton Harbor, Michigan, all joining us this week on Animal Radio Network. We truly do appreciate it, all the listeners we can get so we can pay rent. Huh? Yeah, that's the way it works around here. Well, I'm just telling you the truth. I like to light up my listeners. 1-866-405-8405. Tell us if you sleep with your pets. We want to know. We'll go to the phones next right here on Animal Radio Network.
I'm talking about my dog Chance and what a great product Comfort Zone has been. He had a lot of severe anxiety, separation problems. He redecorated my house several times for me when I had left him alone. Through a friend who gave me as a gift Comfort Zone, I started using it about 9 months ago. At one point, I ran out of it for a month, and I saw a definite change in his personality right away. He's a small terrier-type dog, and he has a high energy level. Without it, he just is out of control. He can't seem to control himself. I work nights, and I had hoped that I would be able to leave Chance by himself. Before I got Comfort Zone, that was totally impossible. He had even jumped through one of the windows in my home and came down to where I work. After using Comfort Zone, I'm able to leave him in the evenings. He's a very much calmer dog. Even in the daytime, he's more relaxed. It's a godsend. I don't know what we would do without it. I think it's a great product, and it's really changed our lives. Comfort Zone is a godsend for us.
The cloning industry wants you to believe that for $50,000, you can buy an animal that looks like your old pet and acts like your old pet. The greatest tribute you can give your old pet would be saving the life of a cat or dog who doesn't have a home. Get the facts. Don't be duped. Don't clone. Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
Judy, you come in every week and you always are talking about how you have to share the bed at night with your husband and with
four cats. Yes.
Four cats. Did you know that 79% of pet owners actually allow their animals to sleep in bed with them?
Allow? Do I have a choice?
They have no choice. The voice in the background that you're hearing is Jill Feinberg. Jill is a photojournalist, and you've probably seen her work in Time or Newsweek or People. And she's a brand new book out with great concept. First of all, it's called People I Sleep With.
I love the title. That got my attention right there.
Immediately, you sit up and you think about that. Of course, the people I sleep with are the animals that are saying that.
That's right.
You've actually put together a whole book of animals sleeping with humans.
That's right.
Not just cats and dogs, but skunks and scorpions.
And donkeys.
Donkeys.
Pig.
Pig, I can't forget the pig there. And you were just talking about the donkey, Mark Myers, also known as the Ass Whisperer.
Can you say that on air?
Can you say, well, we're talking about the donkey.
Yes, yes.
Is that him on the front?
No, that's actually the horse guy. The cowboy is sleeping on the back of a horse on the cover.
Where'd you come up with the concept?
Well, the concept came from having a mother who was very, very adept at showing her affection and attention towards her dog and not so very good at doing it with her children. And having to grow up with that and deal with that and understand that. And then one day being home with my mother and her little chihuahua, Sophie, and sneaking into their bedroom early one morning and really observing the nature of their connection, which was quite deep and quite profound. They really had their own routines. They had their own interactions. The dog was involved way as much as my mother was. And seeing their level of intimacy was so profound for me that I thought, you know, there's just got to be a lot of people that this is where their heart opens with their dog or with their cat or with whatever animal it is they choose to have as their beloved animal. There must be many, many people that do better with the animals than the people, and indeed that was a theme. I heard that again and again. I like animals better than people.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have any animals?
I have two cats right now. The book was dedicated to my cat of 19 years, Miracle Maxine, and she passed on, and the book is dedicated to her. And I now have two cats that I resisted. I wasn't quite ready yet, and of course cats, as we all know, have their way. They decide things. They make things happen. One of them just walked through the door one day. I had, right after Maxine died, I had 8 new cats in the neighborhood circling the property auditioning. And one of them finally crossed the threshold one day. He just walked in, went up on a chair, went to sleep. And I said, "You're leaving. You know, you're not staying." And he, of course, had other ideas. And then the other cat, Bamboo, was brought to me by one of my clients who remembered that I had had a dream about a little yellow male tabby kitten. And right after Maxine had died, and she had acquired, this woman had acquired a yellow male tabby kitten, and couldn't keep it because she already had too many animals, and so she brought it over one day and just gave it to me.
Now, do they sleep with you?
Of course they did. Well, I have to say, when they first moved in, I was in the middle of making this book, and neither of them were, you know, we were all finding our way with each other. Neither of them were sleeping with me, and I was walking around the house yelling at them, saying, "Here I am creating this book about people who sleep with their animals, and do my cats sleep with me?" No. You know, now we do. Now we all do. But that was the beginning.
They allow you to sleep with them.
They allow me to sleep with them. And, you know, one of my very, very favorite statistics about people sleeping with cats specifically that I found in the making of this book was that there was a poll done in the U.K., And it was a poll by a cats protection group, and it said that 44% of the participants in the poll stated that they enjoyed a better night's sleep with their cat than with their human partner. And they said this because of three reasons. One was that the cat took up less space in bed.
Uh-huh.
Two was that purring was preferable to snoring.
Definitely.
And three, my very favorite, was that the cats really made no demands at bedtime.
Well, now I'm looking through. This is a pretty chunky book, about 144 pages, and there's some great, fabulous pictures. Though one of my favorite is the four cats and four dogs with Don and Paul.
Yes.
Probably a queen or king-size bed. I'm looking at all the animals fitting in. I understand Don says that if she gets up for any reason,
right,
that she loses her place.
She loses her place in bed. It's just that, yeah. And they all have their spots. And everybody gets used to it. When she first told me that she slept with four dogs and cats, I told her I didn't believe her, and that even if she wasn't in my book, I had to see this. So they invited me to come one Sunday morning very, very early when they were sleeping late, and I snuck in the house, and it was incredible. You couldn't find the people with all the animals.
Well, that leads me to my next question.
Yes?
It must be very tough to get pictures of people sleeping with their animals.
Do you sneak around at night with your camera?
Well, in some cases, people were absolutely asleep. The bulldog, the guys in bed with the two bulldogs, the snoring, I couldn't even hear myself think with all the snoring that was going on. And, you know, and in some of the pictures, we replicated what they do normally when I'm not there so that I wouldn't have to be hanging around in their house on the top of a ladder shooting down at 4 o'clock in the morning while everyone was trying to sleep.
Yes, I understand that. I completely understand it.
Or they could be napping in the daytime, too. Or,
absolutely.
You know.
There's a woman in the book with a gecko on her face.
Oh, yeah, there's geckos. I see one here with a skunk.
Yes, that she's the skunk button. Takes naps with her and occasionally her husband. But this woman with the gecko, every afternoon, she and her two dogs and the gecko lay down and take a nap. They all get in their little place. The gecko climbs onto her face, and they sleep.
Oh, wonderful. Truly wonderful book with some beautiful pictures. You are a fabulous photographer.
Thank you. I gotta tell you
that right now.
When I got the book, I was just amazed by all the photos. I just couldn't put it down. I had to go through it. I went through it page by page, and I wanted to see a little something about each picture, and I couldn't. There didn't have a story behind the picture, and as I got through the end, I realized the stories were at the back of the book. So then I knew the pictures that I had really liked, and I went back and matched them up and got to read a little something about them.
Oh, that's great. Yes, I did little stories. I didn't really want to take away from the imagery, but I figured if somebody, because most people know me as a photographer, and they want to see the images immediately, but the stories are a delight. The stories, you know, really talk about the love in the photographs and what's going on between the human and the animal.
Well, you know, like you say, I mean, the animals are non-judgmental. They give us unconditional love, and it's not hard to make these kind of bonds with
our
animals.
Exactly.
Well, the book is called People I Sleep With. It's Jill Feinberg. I'll tell you what, we're going to give away a couple copies, but you got to call in, and you got to tell me about the animal you sleep with. 1-866-405-8405. That's 1-866-405-8405. Tell us about the animals you sleep with, and we'll get you one of these wonderful books. If you want to get this as a gift, it's on 10 Speed Press. You can get it just about anywhere, I imagine.
That's right.
Jill, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, Judy and Hal.
Thank you.
Okay.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe! Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
1-866-405-8405.
Very good. You got the number right.
Of course. I've had it right for weeks in a row now. I don't see why you're still making a big deal about
right.
it, okay? Do your pets sleep with you? That's what we want to know. We found out that Judy, all her cats sleep with her at night.
No, I'm allowed to sleep with them.
Oh,
that's the way it is in my house.
They allow you to sleep in the bed with you, huh? Okay, well, we'll give you a copy of the book, People I Sleep With, 1-866-405-8405. Hi, who's this?
This is Paul from San Luis Obispo.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, Paul.
Your pets sleep with you?
Well, I'll tell you what, my animals don't sleep with me since my wife left, but I have my pets sleep with me now.
Oh, okay. Well, we won't go there.
Okay.
So what kind of pets sleep with you?
Well, I have a male cat that's a little over a year old. He's about 25 pounds.
Yes.
25?
Yep.
Oh
yep, he's
God.
Just a big old fat baby.
Yeah, I guess so, huh?
Yep. And then I have a little 11-pounder Shih Tzu.
Oh, my God. So the cat's bigger than the dog.
Oh, the cat's twice the size of the dog.
And they all sleep with you on the bed and they get along fine?
Oh, yes. They play and they lick and they love each other to death.
And they give you room to sleep, huh?
Yep. They stay at one end and leave me alone most of the time.
See, I can't figure it out. My cat sleeps sideways so that there's no possible way I can fit on the bed.
When I get up in the middle of the night, my animals take my place. They come up by my pillow and stuff.
Really?
And I lose my place in bed.
Oh, well, then don't get up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, hold it in.
and at 25 pounds, he just kind of sleeps where he wants.
Yeah, I'd say so.
You don't argue with him. Well, Paul, hold on a second. We got a copy of the book, People I Sleep With, for you. 1-866-405-8405. Do your pets sleep with you? We want to know.
This is Animal Heart Radio
Network.
Look at the phones, and they're ringing hot.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people do sleep with their pets.
I was wrong. I was wrong. 1-866-405-8405. We want to know about the pets you sleep with and the pets that allow you to sleep with them.
Huh. Yeah, that's more like it.
Okay. The Meg Adoption, June 25th, Los Angeles. Do I sound like a big DJ?
Yes, you do.
June 25th. Los Angeles. Johnny Carson Park is what you were going to say, huh?
Yes, I was.
Right across from NBC, we're going to adopt out at least 400 animals there. And 60 different shelters. Now, to put on an event like this, it costs a bundle of money.
Yes, it does.
About $30,000 to do it.
Averages, yes.
Now, I'm not going to ask you for money right now, but I am going to ask you. Yes, you, looking at your radio. Who, me? Yes, you. I'm going to ask you for your cartridges from your inkjet printers or your laser printers or your old cell phones.
Wow.
Yeah. See, if you send those to us, for each cartridge that we get at least $2. And we put that towards the Meg Adoption so that we can adopt out animals. So if you want to help us with the Meg Adoption, it's really simple because otherwise you're going to take these cartridges
to the landfill.
Who wants to do that? To fill up the landfills, send these cartridges. Now, we take every single cartridge except Epson cartridges.
No Epsons.
We take Hewlett-Packard. We take Apple. We take any kind of cartridge except Epson, the laser cartridges, the inkjet cartridges, and your old cell phones. You're going to update to that new cell phone? Why not give us your old cell phone? We get at least a couple of bucks for those cell phones, too.
Yes, and help the animals. We can turn that those cartridges into cash.
Here's the address. Post Office Box 129. That's Post Office Box 129. And that's in Kanab, K-A-N-A-B, Utah, 84741. Post Office Box 129, Kanab, Utah, 84741. Send us those. If you send us six of them, we will send you, well, we'll send your dog a dog toy, or we'll send your cat a cat toy, or we'll send you a book or something like that.
What a deal.
You tell us what you want, if it's for your cat, if it's for your dog, or if it's for you. Send those cartridges, six of them to us, and we'll send you one of those toys there. All the information is up at the website at animalradio.com. Animalradio.com, you can get information about our cartridge recycling program that's going to pay for the Meg Adoption, okay?
Very good.
Appreciate your help. Very, very much. And there's more Animal Radio coming up right around the corner. I'm so out of breath.
Well, that was a mouthful.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
Chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. So why not make a free phone call right now that could save you up to 50%, maybe even more, on quality term life insurance from Matrix Direct Insurance Services. Whether you're buying life insurance for the first time or cutting back on the cost of an overpriced policy, one free call to Matrix Direct is the simple and affordable way to get the term life insurance you need. Call Matrix Direct today, because chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. Here's the number, 1-800-471-TERM. The call is free, the quote is free, and there's no obligation. Call Matrix Direct now, 1-800-471-TERM, 1-800-471-TERM. That's 1-800-471-TERM. Call now.
And welcome back to Animal Radio on Animal Radio Network. I'm Hal.
I'm Judy.
And we have on the phone with us Jessica. How do you pronounce your last name?
Frohman.
Frohman. Just like it's spelled.
That's right.
Very good. Where are we calling you today?
I'm in Bethesda, Maryland, and I'm with Alley Cat Allies.
Oh, a great organization that we support near and dear to our hearts, and except you have something very serious to tell us about today.
That's right. I do. There has been a proposal that I'm sure many people have heard about across the country, but the proposal is actually based out of Wisconsin. And the proposal went to a small population of people who are involved in a group called the Wisconsin Conservation Congress. They're an advisory group to the Department of Natural Resources in Wisconsin. And this proposal calls for the ability of residents who have hunting licenses, actually residents or non-residents who have hunting licenses, to be able to shoot cats.
Shoot cats?
That's correct.
For what?
Well, that's a great question. The proposal came from a gentleman who believes that cats are making a dent in his songbird population, they're the reason for the decline in the songbird population. It's an unfortunate myth that's been going around for quite a many years.
And has he thought of any other way of removing the cats?
Evidently, he has not. He doesn't believe that any other way is effective, which is something that we completely disagree about.
Okay, so this went to vote, huh?
That's true.
And what happened at the vote?
Well, about 0.02% of Wisconsin attended the vote, so almost no one in comparison to the population of the state, and they actually voted in favor of the proposal.
Okay. Wow. It's hard to believe this is actually middle America in
the
year 2005. Century.
Yeah.
It's true. We're moving backwards at the speed of light, I think.
What can we do?
Well, there's a couple of things that you can do. One is, especially if you're a resident of Wisconsin, you can call in to Alley Cat Allies or send us an email at alleycat@alleycat.org. And you can let us know who your local animal control officers are, anyone who's involved in trap-neuter return. And we'd like to get information from you and find out how we can get you involved in creating new and improved services for residents in Wisconsin. And for anyone else out there, we'd love to hear from you, too, as we're trying to get hold of animal control officers nationwide so that we can do similar programs in states across the country.
Oh, beautiful. And we'll put the link, of course, to the animalradio.com site for Alley Cat Allies.
Absolutely. And you can also send a letter to the governor as well as the secretary of the Department of Natural Resources, who both oppose this proposal, and send them a thank you letter.
Oh, for opposing it.
For opposing it, and you can send them a thank you letter. There's an action on our website that allows you to do it for free and over the Internet.
And that's www.alleycat.org.
That's
right?
Correct.
Beautiful. You guys have been doing some wonderful things for a long time, and I'm glad you're on top of this because this is just craziness.
It is. It is indeed.
Unbelievable. We'll put a link, like I said, and we thank you for taking time to tell us about this.
It's my pleasure.
Take care of yourself.
Thanks
more
so much.
Animal Radio on the way.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Did you know that cloning your beloved pet doesn't mean you'll get two furry friends? In fact, chances of successfully cloning your pet is 0.04%. And if it worked, chances are your new friend would have cloning-related health problems. The cloning industry wants you to believe that for $50,000, you can duplicate your pet. Who's duping who? Don't be duped. Don't clone. Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
Well, I've never seen the phones ring like they are ringing today.
It's crazy here in the studio.
1-866-405-8405. You're telling us your stories about your animals that sleep with you. We just had, what was it, an armadillo? Some guy says he sleeps with an armadillo.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the one to top.
Yeah, we've heard about a skunk. We've heard about the gecko on the face.
And a scorpion.
The scorpion.
And now the armadillo.
You people are weird. Anyway, if you missed any part of the show today, you can go to animalradio.com, and you can also get the information for the cartridge return, where we collect a little funds for the mega adoption.
And guess who we have coming up next week?
Let me guess.
Come on. The Price is Right.
The Price is Right.
The Price is Right.
One of my creditors?
No, those prices are wrong.
Yeah.
We have the Bob Barker.
Oh, Bob Barker and Earl Holliman from, was he Angie Dickinson's partner?
Sidekick with a police squad.
Police squad? No, police woman.
Police woman. There it was. Yeah, there it was.
I don't know.
We have a great show coming up for you next week.
We're very excited about that. And remember, you can listen back and get all the information about the guests that you heard today at animalradio.com, as well as the cartridge ink return. We do need your help, so don't throw away those cartridges in the landfills, okay? There's just no need to do that. And remember, if you get a pet this week, please spay
or neuter your pet. Yes. And don't purchase.
What do you mean don't purchase?
Don't purchase a pet. There are many pets available at the shelters, and if you're looking for a specific breed of cat or dog, you can go to a breed rescue online.
There's don't go to a breeder or a puppy mill or something?
No. Don't do that.
Okay,
don't
because you can get any breed you want at a rescue. So spay and neuter and get your animals from a breed rescue. Just go Google them.
Yes, adopt a homeless pet.
Thank you very much for listening. We know you had a choice. We think you had a choice. Maybe your radio's broken. Maybe you couldn't turn the dial. I don't know. But we thank you for listening to Animal Radio Network. Have yourself a great week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
1-866-405-8405. Remember, there was like 2 or 3 weeks I could not remember that number if my life depended on it.
But that was when it was fun. I've tried switching it and putting it upside down, and you still
I still, right. I've memorized it. 1-866-405-8405. Write that on your unk, just like I wrote it on my unk. Hi, who's this?
This is Sherry from Reading, Pennsylvania.
Reading, Pennsylvania. Well, we have a brand new station there. I guess you're listening on WEEU.
I sure am.
And what's it like there today?
It is beautiful.
Really?
It's just gorgeous. The sun is shining and things are just great. And they're going to be that way all week. I can't wait.
Very good. What can we do for you, Sherry?
Well, you know, I've got a very timid little cat. And she's very, very shy. And when people come over, she kind of ducks away. And she's really dependent upon me. When I go off to work or just out for the day, and she sits in the window, and she never leaves that window until I come home. And I'm going on vacation, and I'm going to have a friend come in and watch her, and she's met the friend before.
Uh-huh.
But I'm worried that she's going to miss me so much and be so upset that she's not
going to I think you're going to miss her. I think that's the problem.
Can you tell?
Anthropomorphizing.
You know, we have one of those cats, too. Here at the studio that's very needy and always need a little loving and a little cuddling.
A little extra,
What do you suggest, Judy?
Well, you said that your cat has met your friend.
Mm-hmm.
I'd suggest that your friend spend quite a bit of time with your cat before you go.
Oh, how about you guys together?
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest.
Okay.
What you might do is, since your cat seems to look for you in the window when you come home, if you can, pick up your friend before you come home. So when you pull up in the driveway or come up to the door, your cat sees both of you. Your cat will learn to accept. If you accept this woman, I guess, or whatever, man, whoever this person is, then your cat will accept them.
Oh.
Have the person come in with you, spend some time with your cat, feed it, you know, give it treats, play with it. Just spend some quality time. And
how much before she leaves? How much time?
As much as you can. If you can do it for a couple weeks, you know, before.
Yeah, I've got time.
Yeah, if you've got time, and that way your cat will get excited, you know, when your friend comes over.
Well, now, doesn't Sherry risk coming back and not really being getting any attention from the cat whatsoever?
Yeah, that's possible that you may, you know... The cat may pick up on your friend more than, you know, but it's a chance you take.
Well, then I'm not going.
What about leaving some things like a shirt that smells like you?
I thought of that.
Yeah, if your cat usually sleeps with you on the bed, you know, like if you have a T-shirt or something you've worn, just, you know, leave it, you know, on the bed so the cat can curl up with it. And
maybe a picture.
Yeah, picture, video, call often.
Leave messages.
Yes. You know, another thing... you might want to think about getting a companion for your kitty. That way your that way your kitty won't be so dependent upon you. It'll have somebody. So if
similar, that same sex, similar age, or
normally you want to introduce usually a younger kitten to the household. That way the older ones already has dominance.
From past experience, always make it a female. I know that people will disagree about this, but
I disagree.
Okay.
No.
Figured you would.
Yes.
Now, the other thing is you could go out and buy an RV. That's how I travel, and just throw them all in there. But you may not have that option.
Yeah.
No, not right now.
Okay.
But just have your friend spend a lot of time with your
cat. That's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
down. Yeah, I hope that helps. Let me know. Call just before you leave and let us know if the cat's getting used to the new friend.
Okay, I'll do that.
I'm very curious to see how this is going to turn out. Sherry, thank you so much for calling from Reading, Pennsylvania.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
1-866-405-8405. We want to talk to you. Call us now.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Animal Radio is brought to you by Frontline Plus. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe! Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
We're counting down the days till the big mega adoption in Los Angeles.
And what is that date?
June 25th.
And
what,
where
did
is
you
it?
Really not know where it is?
I know where it is, but do they know where it is out there?
Okay, it's at Johnny Carson Park, same place as last time, Johnny Carson Park, right across from NBC, which means all the celebs will be there again. We had Shelley Morrison last time from Will and Grace.
She's a lot of fun.
Oh, she's a great person.
Yes, she is.
Also, a bunch of the kids from a bunch of the, the WB shows and the UPN shows, all the kids that are just trying to make it. We're inviting Ed Asner. Hopefully, Peter Falk will make it out there.
Hopefully, they will come.
They do show up at all these other wonderful events, and of course, last year, 400 animals adopted, and about 1,800 attendees. So it's a great event. We're looking for it to be much, much bigger this year. We're very, very excited about it. June 25th, if you want to learn a little more about it, head on over to the website, which is
animalradio.com.
Remember that first show? You didn't remember the website.
Well, you put me on the spot. And
you've come
I
such
wasn't
a far away.
Quite sure what you wanted me to say.
Not a lot of people know that Judy's up against a lot of adversity for a producer. She's
working with Hal, there's one.
Well, she also has no head. Not a lot of people know this. It's just all up to the neck. And especially tough for making phone calls and booking people. But she does a fabulous job of that. The number is 1-866-405-8405. We're taking your calls. And here's something really special, because this hits home for me. I feed my cats. I first of all, I won't buy anything from any
grocery
store.
Right, right.
Basically because I think all the food that's at the grocery store is not up to par.
Not the best. No.
I hear that if there's an earlobe that has cancer in it from a cow, they won't feed it to the humans, but they'll throw it in for the cat food. Not a great thing. But I've always been feeding my cats quality food. And the person we're going to talk to next is the real Atkins diet, the Peter Atkins diet. We're talking to the VP of Natura Pet Products, and they make Innova, which is the food that I feed my animals. Well, hello there, Peter. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You're so quiet there in the background.
Yeah, I was enjoying your program.
Oh,
where are we calling you?
I'm in San Jose, California.
San Jose, California, and you've always been very concerned about what we feed our animals. And you've come out with a large line of great stuff. I don't know if this is new, but you have something that we just got a press release on called Innova Evo.
Correct. Innova Evo has been on the market just a few months now, and it really has taken the market by storm.
We've always heard, and there's somewhat of a controversy about the raw food diet, that you should feed your animals what they would have in the wild. But I'll tell you, I have a long day at work. The last thing I want to do is go out catching mice for my cats or the wild food. You have put together a food that basically simulates this. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, our tagline for the product is it's what to feed when you can't feed raw. Raw diets, fundamentally, if they're prepared properly and are balanced properly, can be possibly the best nutrition you can feed your animal. But as you said, it's not an easy thing to do. It takes some know-how, and it takes quite a bit of effort, and it's not the cheapest thing to do in the world, too. Recognizing that, we kind of set out to see what we could do from a commercial standpoint to make a product that would be convenient to feed, that would approximate as closely as possible the benefits of feeding a raw food diet.
Without all the chances of the bacteria and things like that when you prepare it yourself?
Absolutely. That's one of the benefits of the product. It is hygienic. You don't have to worry about cross-contamination or your children getting into it.
There seems to be a big controversy about the raw food diet, and I'm sure you hear this all the time. I hear that you should feed the animals as close to you can as you can for a raw food diet. Or I hear the other people that say, you know what, they've been domesticated so long that feeding them raw food or raw food diet could actually be detrimental. Where do you stand? I mean, I know where you stand, but tell us why.
The archetypal diet of the dog or the cat is definitely very close to the bar for the raw food diet. And again, as I mentioned before, if you do it properly, it's probably the best way to feed your animal. With that being said, most people have issues. Again, we talked to a lot of people before we developed this product who actually do the raw feeding program, and we talked to veterinarians and breeders and a lot of professionals out there. And if you ask them what their raw food recipes are or how they feed it, you'll get a variety of different stories. Some are good, and some people are doing a great job, and their animals are healthy and doing wonderfully, and others not so much, either through imbalances or improper feeding. So, we feel very comfortable that raw feeding is a great way to go, but not everybody can do it. And so that's why Evo was created, to provide the high level of protein and meat protein that you would get in a raw food diet, some of the vegetables and fruits and other things that go into it. But it's also properly balanced with the correct amount of vitamins and minerals. It has the same type of raw meaty bones and cartilage that you would feed in a raw food diet. As well, when the food is cooked and cooled, we spray on actually live, active probiotic bacteria that are beneficial bacteria for the animal. So you get some of the benefit that you would get from a raw food diet in that regard, too. But probably the most revolutionary thing about Evo is that it's a manufactured, prepared diet that's made without using any grains.
Yeah, because sometimes you go look at the ingredients of some of these foods, and the first ingredient is cornmeal.
Correct. Yeah, it's either a lot of corn or a lot of wheat or a variety of different grains. If you look down a typical pet food ingredient list, you'll find at least one or two.
Now, is this a hard food, or is this a canned or a variety?
Nope, this is a dry extruded pet food product.
Uh-huh.
So it's very convenient. You buy it in a bag just like you would any other food, but again, you're getting a very different type of product than you would in a typical pet food bag.
You have the Evo for both cats and dogs?
Right. The Evo cat is actually, we are just in the process of launching that, and that product is actually very exciting for us too. Cats truly are carnivores. They're obligate carnivores, and this product is going to be right up their alley. It's 50% protein, which is the highest cat food protein percentage in a cat food on the market.
Wow.
Very palatable, obviously, with that amount of meat in the product. Cats love this.
Well, I bet they do. Why have you done this? I mean, why can't you just go out, get the cheap stuff, make the cheap stuff, and make a lot of money? Why is this so personal for you?
Well, it really goes back to the whole beginning of the company and when we started it back in the early 90s. The primary owner of the business, John Rademakers, has a multi-decade career in pet foods in the retail and wholesale side. And just a real long story short, in his retail business, back in the late 80s, there was a veterinarian by the name of Dr. Belfield who had a practice just down the road from him. And one day he walked in to see Dr. Belfield, as he would on occasion, and Dr. Belfield said, "Hey, you come back here. I'm doing an operation. I want you to see this." And he was had an animal open and showed some disease in its liver. And Dr. Belfield said, "You know what's causing that?" And John, of course, had no idea. And Dr. Belfield said, "Which you are, and all that stuff that you're selling out of your store down the road." So anyway, that made a big impression on John. And at that time, he said, "Well, you know, Dr. Belfield, what do we need to do? How can we get a good food going?" And he goes, "Well, you need to, you know, get somebody on board, and you need to do it yourself because none of the other big companies are going to do it." So that's when I got into the picture, and he and I started developing the formulas and put together the first California Natural and Innova products, and the rest is history.
And you've done a fine job doing that. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We have so many listeners that may have not tried this.
Sure.
And I'd like to go ahead and give away some samples if we can.
Yes, we can.
I warn you, though, once your animal tries this, they're going to be hooked. If you want to call 1-866-405-8405, 1-866-405-8405, we'll hook you up with some samples of the brand new, well, a couple of months old, Innova Evo food, which is as close to a raw diet as you can get without going out and killing the animals yourself and bringing them home.
Yeah, there you go.
And we have both cat and dog samples to give away.
Oh, good. We really appreciate it. Peter Atkins, Vice President of Natura Pet Products, thanks for joining us today.
And thank you, Judy. Thank you, Hal. We sure appreciate the opportunity.
Stick around. We have more Animal Radio on the way.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Well, as you know, Judy, I'll just do about anything and buy anything for my cats.
Oh, I know. They have... I don't think there's anything that your cats don't have.
I'm in love with them, okay? I'm in love with them, and I'm always looking out for whatever for my cats and my dogs. And I ran into... Actually, a couple of magazines, some high-end magazines, I ran into an organization or a company called Lux Pets. Is that... how you pronounce it, Lux Pets?
I hope so.
I hope so.
That's,
you know,
the way I pronounce it.
We're going to find out right now. We have Claire Chu on the phone. Hi, Claire.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Are we pronouncing that right?
Uh-huh. Lux Pets.
Lux Pets. Okay.
And you're the founder of this.
Yes, I am.
Kind of high-end collars and...
beautiful charms.
Beautiful charms that, without the high-end price, I might mention, too. I was kind of surprised to find out, I was looking at your little catalog, and I thought, well, these are probably going to be real expensive. Not real expensive, but very high quality. How did you start doing this, and what kind of reaction are you getting?
We've gotten a very good reaction since our inception last year. It started as a sort of a labor of love. I had a pet rescue for about 10 years. Her name was Sophie, and she's my family, and she passed away from cancer in April of 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And when she passed, I didn't have anything of hers to keep. At the time, I had also a rat terrier named Casey, and so I cleaned out the house and of Sophie's belongings, and, you know, and at the end of the day, I had her collar and her dog tag sitting on my windowsill for a while. And I just thought to myself, as a designer, if I had something of hers to keep, sort of a keepsake.
That's important, isn't it?
It is. And you don't really realize, you have a photo, and you just don't realize how much you just want something.
That touched her.
Yeah, or something that's nice that you can keep as a keepsake. Like, as humans do pass down rings or bracelets and other kind or antiques or whatnot from generation to generation, it's got it. She was my family, and I didn't really have anything of hers to keep. And so I had kept some of her hair, and I had a little snippet, and I was looking for a locket to put it in, and I really, though there wasn't anything really elegant out in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of how it happened. I don't have anything. Well, why don't I just make something?
You created something.
So here we go. As, you know, as a designer, I just kind of started creating the charms, and then I thought about it, and I'm like, well, I had a charm bracelet, and I said if I had a charm, I could put on a charm bracelet, and if they had a collar, then the dogs could wear it, and then they could wear a bunch of different ones for different holidays and whatnot, and people could buy it as a keepsake, and then it can get passed down.
So it kind of took off, didn't it?
And it just kind of took on a life of its own, and here we go, a year and a month later.
Well, now this is kind of interesting, because is there really a market... Are there people that can keep your business afloat? I think it's great, but are there people that are going to spend money on bling bling?
I think so. I think that there's what is it now? The AMPA market survey had said it's like a $43 billion market industry in North America.
Uh huh.
And I think a lot of that is going to be on mostly accessories for the pets. I think that as pets become more and more as a member of our family, and as they endear and touch our lives, we'll definitely want to have keepsakes and endearments that we can share along with them. Now, the line that I have, for example, there is one called the Hugs and Kisses.
And I wear one, and my dog wears one.
Okay, where is this? I'm looking in the catalog. Is it in the catalog?
It's in the catalog.
I like that idea. I like the idea that you can wear one at the same time that
mm-hmm.
your dog.
There's two different sort of clasps you can have for it. The one that's portrayed in the catalog is the one that you hook onto the collar.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's a smaller fastener that we provide for humans, and that goes at the end of a charm bracelet that I am coming out with this spring.
Ooh,
oh, wow.
At Backer. We released at the new Backer show, and it's a very delicate little silver bracelet that you can put the charm on the end, and then so you guys can match.
You can wear the same thing. I like that idea. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of women out there will.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, even guys, too. Yeah. I mean, not necessarily the... the bracelet, but I'd actually wear the entire collar.
Yes, yes.
Actually, I wore it when I did the New York show, and I wore it in some subways going back and forth from the show, and I've actually had people purchase it for themselves. I've done quite a few sample sales this last holiday season, and okay, so I live in L.A., and I think in some of the metropolitan cities, the younger gals will, you know, as really seeing it as a fashion item.
You know, I tried it on Hal, but I've got a small collar, so it didn't work. I'll have to get a bigger one for him.
Yeah, yeah. The actual collar is very nice also.
Thank you.
Do you get it from Italy?
We've gotten our first season was from Italy last year, and this year we're able to produce it in the same quality Italian leather, but a much more cost-effective price because we are actually doing production elsewhere.
Oh, they're beautiful.
Well, not a lot of you know out there that are listening right now that tomorrow is Get Your Pet Something Really Nice Day.
And it's official here at
Animal Radio.
Yeah, so nice. If you're interested in getting something that's really cool, that's jewelry, that would look great on them, and then also would be a keepsake that you could keep after their passing, this is awesome. It's Lux Pets. How'd you come up with the name?
Well, I wanted something luxury.
Okay, so, luxury pets.
Mm-hmm, and Lux Pets was a shorter version of it. And I really want to say that the line is cost effective because I wanted to make it available to everyone out there. You know, it comes in sterling plate, and that retails for about $7.50.
Wow.
We have the next line up is sterling silver, and the line after that, we also do custom orders. I've done some in 14K and some in platinum.
That's gold for those of you that didn't 14 karat gold.
And so it really is to really celebrate those and cherish those moments that you share with your pets because it all goes by so quickly.
It sure does. Yeah. The website is www.luxpets.com. Let me spell it for you. LuxePets.com. We'll also put a link, as we always do with all of our guests, at the animalradio.com site. And I'm understanding, what is it, Judy?
That we have 5 of the charms for giveaway.
We do?
Yes, we do. I know I hid them from you because I know you would put them on all your cats. So.
I would.
I've hid them.
Do you know what which ones they are?
No, I don't.
I think we are going to surprise you with our top sellers, I think.
Cool.
And I think will be some of our newest ones that we have for spring as well. And I'm sure they will be very well liked.
Oh, okay. There you go. 1-866-405-8405. 1-866-405-8405. Look, the phones are already lighting up there. Very exciting stuff. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
Beautiful products.
Very beautiful products. And I'm glad that you're spending time creating artistry for animals.
Thank you. And I really wanted to also note that a percentage of our proceeds go to different pet organizations and charities.
Oh, good for you.
Love to hear that.
We feel that it's really, really important to give back to the community.
You know, we've talked to two great organizations today that are...
giving back.
Giving back. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking time with us today.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
You're awesome, Claire. Hold on a second.
Okay, one moment.
We have more Animal Radio and good stuff for great pets on the way.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking with Gina Lash from the American Kennel Club. Is that it? The AKC?
The AKC.
And she's going to tell us the top breeds, and we'll see if your breed is in the top.
The top 10.
There you go. It's on the way right here on Animal Radio Network. Stick around.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
I got this dog, and I just moved in with my boyfriend, and Sheba was driving my boyfriend crazy. She was chewing on his shoes, tearing up the newspaper. She started chewing on the couch. My boyfriend was, you know, telling me maybe I should get rid of the dog. He can't stand her anymore, and I really don't want to get rid of Sheba. I love her to death. And then my friend mentioned this new product called Comfort Zone, and she said that I should try it because it works really good. So went out and purchased it, tried it for a couple days, and wasn't sure if it was going to work or not, and noticed a few days later that it started working. And I went shopping, came home, seeing him and Sheba asleep on the couch. At first, my boyfriend wanted me to get rid of the dog, but now it looks like I get to keep Sheba. Thanks to Comfort Zone, we all now get along really well.
Such a beautiful day out today. I sort of wish I wasn't inside doing the radio show on a day like today.
Can we take the studios outside?
We should be able to. But I'll tell you what makes it better. That laugh in the background, to hear the listeners, to hear the guests. That is the laugh of Gina Lash.
Hi.
Is it Lash?
It is.
Okay.
Hi, Gina.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Where are we calling you today?
I am in New York City.
New York City. What's the weather like there?
40, 45 and sunny.
That sounds a little bit chilly, though,
it's nice. Well, it's chilly for this time of year, but it's warmer than we've been for a while.
Pretty balmy for you. Huh?
You'll
take
it.
Exactly.
You work for the American Kennel Club. What do you do there?
I do. I am the Assistant Executive Secretary, which kind of means I help keep the rules and the policies of the corporation.
That actually means that you run the whole organization and the operation.
We all know what secretary means.
And I just received a press release about your top 10 most popular breeds of 2004.
Well, we issued it originally a little bit back, so we get a total for the end of the year, and that becomes the top breeds for 2005. Base them on our registration statistics for the whole year.
So you have to look back at it retrospectively.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're not behind schedule here, but you do have the top 10 most popular breeds, and I'd love to hear, first of all, what they are.
Sure. The most popular breed by far in America is the Labrador Retriever. In fact, the Labrador has been the number one breed in the United States for the past 13 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the Golden Retriever and the German Shepherd and the Beagle and the Yorkshire Terrier, those are our top five.
Uh-huh.
And they have been for quite a while. And then the next five are Dachshund, Boxer, Poodle, Shih Tzu, and Chihuahua.
Wow.
In that order.
Chihuahua comes in 10th, huh?
Comes in as the 10th most popular dog in the U.S.
Oh, wow. Okay, so now, why do you think people are picking these particular animals? Why do you think the Labrador Retriever is the number one breed?
I think it's because it's a great family dog, and it fits into a variety of lifestyles. And that's really the key when you're choosing a breed of dog. Each breed is going to have different energy levels, grooming needs, temperament, and trainability. And you want to make sure that the dog that you choose will really mesh with your life. And the Lab is easy to train. It doesn't require a lot of grooming. It has a pretty moderate energy level. And that fits in with a lot of different people's lifestyles.
You know, what about number two? What was number two?
The Golden Retriever.
Easy going dog.
Exactly. Very easy to train. Great family dog. Not overly protective. And sometimes a big dog is better for people with small children than a small dog. And so they're a good choice for families with small children.
So are people starting to pick dogs more on the type of dog, the temperament of the dog, instead of just the looks?
Yes, I think so. I think that this has been our message for a long time, and the AKC has a lot of great information about all that on our website. And it's really important. Make a list of the breeds that you think you want based on maybe how they look, and then choose the breed based on its other qualities. And if you really evaluate your lifestyle, figure out how much time you're going to be home, how much time you're going to actually have to brush it or exercise it, it'll make a big difference 2 years down the road with how happy you are with your pet.
Okay, now I'm thinking of the Chihuahua here, who's really kind of high-maintenance, yappy dog. Are there other reasons that people pick these animals, perhaps? Could the Taco Bell craze have anything to do with this?
It did. We noticed a huge spike in the popularity of the Chihuahua after that commercial campaign began. And we do notice that that's a trend. Dogs that are profiled in movies or television commercials get notoriety, and people think, oh, this is a cute, adorable dog. Look how it behaves in the commercial, and then assumes that any dog they bring into their house is going to be like that. But all those dogs are very well trained, and people spent many hours getting them to do and look the way they do on television.
Plus they use two or three. It's not just one dog that does all that.
Sometimes, and you know, a reason I think also that Chihuahua is popular is because it's small, and we've noticed a trend towards people choosing smaller breeds, even though our top two are larger.
They're easier to take places.
Exactly, and people love their dogs and want to be with their dogs, and you can take your dog and put it in a little pouch and carry it with you almost anywhere, and that makes it a lot easier than, you know, a 100-pound.
Right, and there are housing apartments and things like that have restrictions on size.
Absolutely, a lot of places, you know, under 15 pounds or under 20 pounds, and so sometimes your only alternative is to get a small dog. But there's tons of great small dogs. The AKC recognizes over 156 different breeds.
Wow.
So there's really one right dog or a few right dogs for everybody.
So if I consider myself a couch potato, I'm not real active, like to watch a lot of TV, a terrier wouldn't be a good dog for me, would it?
Probably not. Depending on the size of your house, some of the small terriers, they can get enough exercise just throwing a ball in the house.
Oh,
but,
uh-huh.
You know, it's a good question to ask a breeder or somebody that you're thinking of getting the dog from, because even within a specific litter, you're going to have dogs that have different temperaments.
Really, for your level of excitement during the day, it's a cactus pretty much would be the breed that you would need. What kind of dog would be good for Judy?
Oh, believe it or not, a dog like a greyhound would be a great dog. Because,
you're kidding.
No, because even though they're large in size, they really don't require a lot of exercise. They're completely happy just going for a small couple few walks, and they're great big couch potatoes. And a lot of the bigger breeds are like that. So, again, it's just a question of finding out more about the breed you're interested in.
That wouldn't even be a breed of dog I would look at, because I would just assume that it would require a lot.
Right, based on its size. But really, it's a very docile, quiet dog that doesn't exude a lot of energy, just quick bursts of energy. So a couple quick walks make it very happy.
And it only take up half the bed.
Only half, that's all. Yeah.
What about dogs like pit bulls that are getting a lot of Hershing my gig in New York? They're, you know, it's Ed Bokes wants the pit bull to be recognized as a friendly animal, but oftentimes it's not. Where do they stand in the breeding?
Well, they are a very popular breed in the United States. The AKC actually doesn't recognize a breed by that name, but we have bull breeds that are relative to it, like the American Staffordshire Terrier and the Staffordshire Terrier. And we really believe, and it's true, that dogs should be judged by their deed and not their breed, and that any dog can be made to be a good social animal just as easily as it can be, you know, taught to be fearful and bite.
Mm-hmm.
And so, back in the 50s, the Staffordshire Bull Terrier was the most popular dog in America. Look at little Petey from the Rascals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that people choose to train the dogs, and because they're a very intelligent breed and they are big and strong, when you teach them to do bad things, they can hurt people.
Now, you know, you always hear the myth about pit bulls with their locking jaws. I heard recently that that's not true.
No, I don't believe it's true.
It's a hoax.
It's a hoax?
You know, they have a very strong jaw, and so therefore when they bite onto something, they can hold on. But it's not locked. It's just that they have the muscle control and ability to, you know, it would be hard for someone, especially someone like me, to force it open. But it doesn't lock. No, it's just a strong dog. And there's lots of strong dogs out there. And, you know, it's just a question of being a responsible owner. Any breed of dog, when it's raised properly, socialized, given love and care and attention, is going to be a great pet. It's not really the breed.
So if people start choosing dogs more based upon their lifestyle, there'll be the possibility of less surrenders and stuff going on at the shelters.
Exactly.
Because it'll be a perfect match.
Exactly. I mean, we saw that happen when the 101 Dalmatians came out, and everyone ran out to get a Dalmatian, but a lot of people didn't realize that it's a very active, high-energy dog that can be hard to live with if you don't give it the proper exercise and training. And tons of those poor puppies ended up being abandoned. And so we just really stress evaluate your lifestyle, recognize the commitment, make a list of the breeds that you want, and then choose the breed based on the characteristics of that specific breed.
We're talking with Gino Lash, the unadmitted big cheese at the American Kennel Club. And I want to make sure, coming from the big cheese, that you tell our listeners something very important. And that is, we can get breeds, almost every breed, at a rescue shelter.
Absolutely.
Or a breed rescue.
Absolutely. And actually, if you go to the American Kennel Club's website, each of our national parent clubs, for example, the Golden Retriever Club of America, the Doberman Pinscher Club of America, they all are, they're the safeguarders of the breed in this country, and they all have rescue organizations within them. And it's a great way to start if you're looking for a rescue dog of a specific breed. You can find there, you can find people all across the country who are devoted to rescuing a specific breed. Or, you know, you can find, unfortunately, you can, there's tons of dogs in the shelters. And,
mm-hmm.
But rescue is a great way to find a dog, especially if you're considering an older dog. And a lot of times an older dog will fit better into your lifestyle because all of those, the puppy issues, the potty training, the mm-hmm. chewing, all those things are done. And so sometimes mm-hmm. the right person, an older dog, is a better choice.
And you can also find your little Heinz 57, what they call mutts, at the shelters that will give you lots of love, too.
Absolutely. I have a mutt, and he gives me great love.
You hear that? The big cheese at the AKC has a mutt.
I do.
Do not buy an animal. Pay the adoption fees. There's plenty of rescues for every breed out there, and we'll put links from the Animal Radio site to the American Kennel Club site, as well as to some breed rescues. Thanks so much for spending time with us, Gina.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you.
There's more Animal Radio on the way.
Chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. So why not make a free phone call right now that could save you up to 50%, maybe even more, on quality term life insurance from Matrix Direct Insurance Services. Whether you're buying life insurance for the first time or cutting back on the cost of an overpriced policy, one free call to Matrix Direct is the simple and affordable way to get the term life insurance you need. Call Matrix Direct today, because chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. Here's the number, 1-800-471-TERM. The call is free, the quote is free, and there's no obligation. Call Matrix Direct now. 1-800-471-TERM. 1-800-471-TERM. That's 1-800-471-TERM. Call now.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe! Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
Did you know that cloning your beloved pet doesn't mean you'll get 2 furry friends? In fact, chances of successfully cloning your pet is 0.04%. And if it worked, chances are your new friend would have cloning-related health problems. The cloning industry wants you to believe that for $50,000, you can duplicate your pet. Who's duping who? Don't be duped. Don't clone. Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
Coming up in just a couple of seconds here, we're going to be talking to Darlene Arden about Nashville, the dog, not the city. It's all on the way.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
Okay, I got to tell everyone about the cartridge drive real fast before we go to Darlene Arden.
Okay.
The mega adoption happening June 25th in Los Angeles at Johnny Carson Park. It's a big mega adoption that's going to get about 400 animals brand new homes.
We're hoping.
At least. And it costs about $30,000 to put on one of these events. How can you help? Well, forget about opening your wallets. Open your printer. And when you have those spent cartridges, laser cartridges, inkjet cartridges, or even cell phones, send them to us. For each one of those, we get about $2.
We can turn them into cash.
We turn them into cash. We pay for events like the Mega Adoption. Now, if you send us six of those items, six inkjets or six laser jet cartridges or six cell phones or any
mix
combination,
and match.
Mix and match, we will send you a toy for your dog or a toy for your cat. Or a book or something for you.
Wow.
Just let us know what you want, if you want something for you, for your cat, or for your dog. You send it to Post Office Box 129. That's in Kanab, K-A-N-A-B, Utah. 84741. You were going to say that we don't accept Epson cartridges.
No Epson cartridges.
But everything else. We accept every Hewlett-Packard, Apple, every other cartridge, inkjet, laser jet, and cell phone. Send it to Post Office Box 129. Kanab, K-A-N-A-B, Utah, 84741, and you'll be helping the animals find a home. Those addresses, all that information, you'll find on the website at animalradio.com, because I know that you couldn't possibly write down that address as
fast
as I was saying.
You're not going to remember.
No, I won't remember it. Oh, yeah.
They won't remember it.
Hi, Darlene. How you doing?
Hi, Hal. I'm fine, thanks. How are you today?
Very well. Now, are you in Nashville, or are you talking about Nashville? I'm so confused.
No, I'm going to talk about Nashville.
Okay.
I have not been to Nashville in a few years, not since the AVMA had their convention there.
Darlene Arlen, the famous author. What is your last book, by the way?
Unbelievably Good Deals and Great Adventures That You Absolutely Can't Get Unless You're a Dog.
And it's a great book, by the way, and you should pick it up. I just can never remember the names of your books because they're so damn long. The title
and the Queen of Long Book Titles.
Yes, they are. Okay, tell us about Nashville.
Nashville is the most wonderful black lab, a rescue dog. I met him a couple of weeks ago. He's from Connecticut. I met him in Rhode Island at an art show opening, and it was Companion Animals in Art. I was there doing a book signing, and the guest of honor was Nashville, who is a blind, we think about 10 years old, black lab who does not only therapy work, and everybody asks, these people have all rescue dogs at home, and everyone asks, where's the blind dog?
You mean the blind dog is doing therapy work?
He's doing therapy work, and people, elderly people relate to him. Everybody relates to him. But he not only does therapy work, he's part of the READ program.
What is that?
The READ program is a wonderful program that's been set up where children read out loud to dogs. You know how shy kids can be.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And they have no problem reading to the dog. The dog isn't critical. The dog isn't judgmental. The dog is not doing anything except sitting there patiently listening and happy to be with the kid. And the amazing thing is that with Nashville, some autistic children have opened up and started to talk.
Oh, really?
Wow.
That's very cool.
This is the most amazing dog. I found myself spending more time cuddling Nashville. I was kind of hogging him. I kept saying, it's my therapy session. I'm here. I had the long drive in the traffic from Massachusetts. He was wonderful.
Now, where does he live?
He lives in Connecticut.
Connecticut, okay. And so he visits these autistic children?
In Connecticut. He works in Connecticut, where he lives, but he came to Rhode Island as the special guest of the art show for Companion Animals in Art. He was the special guest for the art show opening.
Well, wow. He should be. I just think that's fabulous that not only is he a therapy dog, but he himself is blind.
Amazing.
He himself is blind, which is just mind-boggling. But there is something about this dog, and you know how much time I've spent with dogs over the years. There are so many special, wonderful dogs, but there was something so unusual about this one.
Uh-huh.
There's a certain calm about him and a certain peace. And labs are fun dogs. I'm not going to tell you he wasn't a fun dog, but as labs go, there was just something unusual about him. You felt compelled to go over and pet him, and he would come and snuggle.
Now, was he born blind, or did he?
No, he developed glaucoma.
Oh, wow. What age do you know?
Well, they're not sure what age he was when they got him. He probably around 8 or so, 8 or 9, he had to have his eyes removed.
Oh, uh-huh.
There was no choice. They tried. They worked for over a year doing all kinds of therapy and eye drops, and they did everything they possibly could for this rescue dog.
Uh-huh. Isn't it fascinating how dogs, whether they're missing a leg or whether they're blind or whatever, it just doesn't bother them, does it?
No, it doesn't. They adapt much more readily, I think, than humans do. The other thing that I find interesting is that this is a rescue dog, and people always want a puppy. They claim that, well, it'll only bond if I get it as a puppy. Oh, really? Tell that to somebody else. No, it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
They respond to love and care, and it gives them a new leash on life. So it goes along with what you two and I believe in, and that's going out and giving somebody a new home.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, Darlene, what is the website people can find out about all your books and all your good stuff?
They can find it at DarleneArden.com, DarleneArden.com. There are some articles up there with some helpful things for dog and cat people. If you feel like running away from home, I even have some travel articles up there.
Oh, really?
And there's stuff about my TV show. There's World Canine Freestyle Organization. There on the links page, they'll find some very helpful medical websites that, for dogs and cats, so you can get the good advice, not the garbage that's out on the net sometimes.
You are one busy lady.
Yes, you really got it going on there.
Well, you know, I want to give people good advice. I want to know that if they link to my website, they're getting stuff that's dependable, that they can rely on, stuff that I rely on.
Okay, and of course, we'll put a link from animalradio.com right to Darlene's site if you didn't catch the address. And before we go, we want to remind you that if you go out this week and get a pet, please spay or neuter. There's just too many animals in the shelters that are being put to sleep, about 5 million a year that are actually being put to sleep simply because they have no home.
Yes.
Also, we want to remind you that there is no reason to go to a breeder. There is no reason to go to a puppy mill. You can find the breed you're looking for. In fact, we found a Rhodesian Ridgeback the other day for somebody
who was looking for one, and we found it just like that.
They wanted a young one, 19 months old. We just picked up the phone, did a little Googling. You can find breed rescues that can find, you can get any animals that you want, really, from these rescues.
Exactly right. And the only time to go to a breeder, I think, unless you're going to show a dog, is if you want a rehomed, retired show dog.
Yes. Well, we'll have to talk more about that next week because I'm a little confused about that. But Darlene Arden, thank you so much.
Thank you, Judy. Hal. Bye, Judy.
Bye-bye. Judy, it's another week has come and gone. We'll see you next week right here on Animal Radio.
Bye-bye.